Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we all sing together from Psalter 150, all four stanzas. O God, give thou ear to my plea, and hide not thyself from my cry. O hearken, and answer thou me, as restless and weary I sigh. We mention Psalter 150, all four stanzas.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this evening you can find in the Gospel according to Luke, the 11th chapter, the first 13 verses. We mentioned to you Luke chapter 11, but before we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned to you Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? So far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence among us. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal Lord God of heaven and earth, creator of all things, upholder of all things, and Lord, we read in thy word that thou art holy, 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 and we are sinful. And in this evening, that as together we open our sinful lips unto thee as we attempt to draw nigh unto thee in prayer, Lord, teach us to pray. Give us true humility, knowing who we are. May we truly come before thee, bowing in the dust, confessing our sin, and crying unto thee, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And yet, Lord, give us that faith to look up unto thee. May we come unto thee then in true humility and in true faith. And Lord, tonight, then we also need to speak of prayer as we come to that part in the Heidelberg Catechism of prayer. And Lord, we are born prayerless, and without thy grace we will die prayerless. But thy people, those who are born again, recipients of thy free and sovereign grace, begin to pray. They begin to cry unto thee. They begin to sigh unto thee. And Lord, we beg thee then for thy Holy Spirit to enable us, to teach us, but also when we have no words to express what's in our hearts, that that precious Spirit may make those groanings within us and make intercession for us, and that all our prayers may ascend unto him, to that interceding and thanking high priest at the right hand of God, that all our prayers may be before thy throne through him, because all our prayers are also polluted with sin. And Lord, what a wonder thou hast said in thy word, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. May we together then open our mouths wide unto thee, and that thou would fill it, that thou would come among us tonight and open thy precious word and bless thy word and instruct us. May those who are prayerless become prayerful. Those who are dead in sinners, may they be awakened, made alive, and become lost beggars at thy throne of grace. And those who have been made alive, oh, how we need also instruction in prayer, and how we need thy grace and thy Spirit to teach us, to draw us to thee, to give opening in prayer. And Lord, may we ask thee then for thy honor, for thy glory, for our salvation, and for the edification of thy dear people, that thou would bless richly, powerfully, irresistibly thy precious word tonight also. Lord, each time we come together, we are utterly dependent upon thee. We are sinners, and we need thy grace. We need thy Holy Spirit. And this day we had a beautiful day in the creation where the sun may shine and we may see the wind, the effects of the wind. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, tonight that thou would come in our presence with the Sun of Righteousness and shine through thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that thou would come and blow among us with thy Spirit, that there may be life, and that those of thy dear people may also be given exercise to pray, to cry unto thee. Lord, have mercy upon us. We beg and ask thee, Lord, then to remember the whole congregation. Remember especially those with cares and crosses. Give grace, Lord, to follow thee. We pray for those who may have experienced abuse in the past. Physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse. Oh, what trauma, what horrible things. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would give them grace and help them through. Remember those who may have committed such acts. Oh, we beg for them also that they may be brought to repentance, and that they may be renewed, and that they may flee from sin, and that they may seek forgiveness in thee. Lord, we pray that thou would give us love for each other. We beg thee for a revival. Work mightily among us with thy Holy Spirit, that sin becomes sin, and that there's a hunger and a thirst for thy righteousness, for thy honor, for thy glory, that we may be together as a congregation in love, in unity, that we may care for one another, that we may love each other, that we may pray for each other. Lord, we ask then that thou would remember us through thy dear Son. There's no reason in us. We sin everything away. And Lord, we ask thee then that thou would send help from the sanctuary tonight. We beg thee to give opening to preach thy word. Lord, if thou will close, who can open? But if thou will open, who can close? We beg thee to open deaf ears to hear thy word. Enlighten dark and polluted minds to hear, to understand. Open blind eyes spiritually to see not only who we are, but also reveal thyself and thy Son through thy word. And we pray, Lord, renew hearts. And give also to thy dear children more holiness, more dependency upon thee, more of a close living to thee, needing thee, crying unto thee, praying for thy glory, for thy kingdom to come, for thy word to be blessed here in this church, but also throughout the entire world. Lord, we ask then that thou would not pass us by, but have mercy on us. Remember us also as a nation. Oh, we beg thee that thou would give us leaders and rulers over us who have the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts, that thy word may be a light upon thy pathway, that they have a hunger to know thy will, to follow thy will, and to rule according to thy will. Remember the persecuted church. Lord, we may freely come here Sunday after Sunday to gather in thy house around thy word to hear what thou hast to say unto us. What a blessing, what a privilege, what a responsibility. But we pray for those of the Christians throughout this world, thy dear children, who cannot freely gather together, who must meet in fear for their lives. Lord, would thou uphold them? Remember those in prison who are tortured for the name of Christ. Uphold them, Lord. We pray and ask and beg thee that thou would remember the children in the congregation. Lord, we pray that thou would give them a new heart and that they may have the tender fear of the Lord, that there may be Timothys also in this congregation. Remember the teenagers. And Lord, thou knowest Satan, how he can present all different things as alluring, as promising. But he only has one desire, to destroy us. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give also the teenagers here the fear of the Lord, a new heart, and that they may see that sin only leads to death and eternal destruction. Oh, wilt thou draw them to thyself and show them that to belong unto thee, that is true joy, that is life, and that this world passeth away, and that if we belong unto thee, then we have a blessed future to enter into that glory, to be free from all sin, and to be forever with thee, to sing praises unto thee. Remember those who are in universities. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would put a wall around them and give them thy grace in their hearts, that they may stand firm in the truths of thy word. Give them the same grace as those friends, as Daniel had, when they were called to bow to that idol and they could not, because they had the fear of the Lord in their hearts. Lord, remember us as adults, as parents. We can be so busy with so many responsibilities and so many cares of this world. But wilt thou remember us and give us each day a time to seek thee, to pray unto thee, to read thy word, to search the scriptures, because they testify of thee. And may we have no rest until we find thee. Lord, thou hast promised in thy word, as we heard tonight, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened. Oh, wilt thou make us seekers? Wilt thou make us knockers? And wilt thou give them that we may wait upon thee? Thou art that faithful God, and thou hast said unto the seed of Jacob that they would never seek thee in vain, But if they seek thee with their whole heart, they shall find thee. O Lord, give us such hearts. Lord, we pray, help us then as parents. Remember us also in our marriages. Remember those who are seeking partners for life, with to provide godly partners. Remember those who are dating. Help them to live in holiness also. We pray and ask thee, Lord, that thou would remember those who suffer also from being in a family where there's no love between husband and wife. When they suffer, they don't have the security in a loving, caring home. Lord, help them, care for them. Those who miss the love of a mother, those who miss the love of a father. Oh, wilt thou show us and them and all of us that love of that perfect Father in heaven? We pray, Lord, then work among us irresistibly with thy word and spirit. Help thy servant tonight. Each time is a new time, and we have nothing in self. We need everything from thee. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, pour forth thy spirit. Give us a good hour together. Take away all the distractions, all the hindrances from hearing thy precious word, and help to preach and to listen. And wilt thou give us then a good hour, may it be under thy wings, an hour of peace, an hour that our hearts burn within us, because we may say the Lord was with us. Lord, we deserve nothing, but may we ask it for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, for the name of thy dear Son, in whose name we pray and ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 368. No, 386. 386, the first three stanzas. 386, the first three stanzas, and possibly more if needed. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To thee I call, on thee rely. Incline to me a gracious ear, and when I call, in mercy hear. And the collections for this evening is for the church and for the mission. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, do you pray? Children, do you fold your hands? Do you close your eyes? Do you bend your knees? Do you pray? Teenagers, do you take time every day to pray? Adults, parents, older ones, do you pray? Congregation, prayer is a precious gift of God's. The Almighty God invites sinners like you and me to pray. What a wonder. He who is infinite in holiness, he invites polluted, wretched, sinful people to cry unto him and to pray. What a wonder. We read in Psalm 81, verse 10, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. What an encouragement for us tonight, individually, but as a congregation, to pray. To open our mouths wide unto the Almighty God of heaven and earth. To cry unto him. And he promises, and I will fill it. A true Christian prays. A true Christian prays. He's taught to pray. He's enabled to pray by the Holy Spirit. Prayer for a Christian is vital. We need food and we need drink. But for a Christian, a true Christian, a poor, needy sinner, a child of God, he must pray. He needs to pray daily. He needs to pour out his heart to God. And oh, when there's opening in prayer, and when you may pour out all your needs to God, what a blessing. When you know that ear of an Almighty God of heaven and earth, he hears. And he knows of you. What a blessing. Do you pray, my friend? Robert Murray McShane said, what man is alone before God on his knees is who he is. Are you a praying father, mother, husband, wife? A praying child? A praying young person, an adult, an older one, do you pray? Prayer is special. Prayer is precious. Prayer is awe-inspiring because we're entering into the presence of the Almighty God. Think of the high priest that went into the holies of holies. And with prayer, we are entering into the presence of an infinite holy God. What an awe-inspiring thought. Prayer is communion with God. And when a sinner prays, he opens his sinful lips and he's praying to an infinite holy God. What a thought. Prayer is also convicting. Prayer shows us who we are in ourselves. Who among us tonight would dare to raise their hand and say, I'm satisfied with my prayers? I don't think anyone. I hope no one. None of us. The proud Pharisees, he's happy. He loves it when people see him praying. He stands in the corner. He's happy with his prayers. But those poor publicans, those repentant sinners, they're not satisfied at all with their prayers. Do you pray? Are you satisfied with your prayer? Dear congregation, when we think of prayer, this can raise a multitude of questions. What is prayer? How must we pray? What things should we ask for? How should we ask? How should we pray? These are all very good questions. And may the Lord teach us. May the Lord teach us how to pray and give us grace to truly be beggars at his throne of grace. The text for this evening is from Luke, the chapter we have read and you have heard, Luke 11, verse 1. Luke 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he, which is Jesus Christ, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. The authors of the Heidelberg Catechism summarize what the Lord Jesus Christ teaches about prayer. And this evening we will begin in the Heidelberg Catechism in the section of gratitude about the part of prayer. And we will read together now the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45, questions 116, 117, 118, and 119. And if you want to read along, you can find it in the back of your Psalter on page 81. Question and answer 116. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Answer, because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and also because God will give his grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. Question and answer 117. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which he will hear? The answer, first, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested himself in his word for all things he hath commanded us to ask him. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of his divine majesty. And thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that he, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as he has promised in his word. Question answer 118. What hath God commanded us to ask of him? The answer, all things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer he himself has taught us. And what are the words of that prayer? Then we read the Lord's Prayer, and we will consider that piece by piece in the following Lord's days. So with the help of the Lord, our theme tonight with 3 points is the following: Christian prayer. 3 thoughts in the form each of a question. Why does a Christian need to pray? Because we read in our question, it's about why is prayer necessary for Christians? So why does a Christian need to pray? Second, how should a Christian pray? Then we see that in the next question and answer. And what things should we pray for is the third question. Then we see that also in question and answer 118. So the theme, Christian prayer. Why does a Christian need to pray? How should a Christian pray? And third, what things should a Christian pray for? Why does a Christian need to pray? Congregation, I believe a few weeks ago, you ended reading the sermons, the Heidelberg Catechism sermons from Reverend De Boer on the Ten Commandments. And now we begin 8 Lord's Days meditating on prayer, specifically on the Lord's Prayer, what the Lord has taught us to pray, which the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray. And how fitting it is that after hearing the commandments that we are now instructed to pray, we read in Psalm 119, verse 4 and 5, Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. So you hear of the commandments, the command to keep the commandments, and immediately there is a prayer. And how fitting for us also tonight. to begin after hearing the commandments, what God requires us of us, that we pray, that we are taught how to pray. We need to beg the Lord, "Lord, instruct me to pray. Give me a heart that loves thy will. Give me a heart that obeys thy commandments. Give me grace, Lord, to keep thy commandments, to live for thy honor and for thy glory." I think of Psalm 25, verse 2. We read, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Who can teach us to pray? Who can teach us to pray? Can I, as a pastor, teach you to pray? No, I need to be taught how to pray myself. Who can teach us to pray? The Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. But especially the Lord Jesus Christ also gives that perfect prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ knew the importance of prayer, the sweetness to go in times privately and to pray and to call and to speak unto his Father which is in heaven. And now think of those disciples listening to the Lord Jesus Christ praying to his Father. What prayers they must have heard. What beautiful prayers. What perfect prayers. And then, it's not a wonder when he comes to the end of his prayer that they ask. One asked, "Lord, teach us to pray," as we read in Luke 11, verse 1. We need to be instructed about prayer, about how to pray. We need to become true praying people, beggars at the throne of grace. Not only what to pray, but how to pray. When to pray, what to pray for. And Jesus instructed his disciples. And he instructs us also through the instruction that we have in the Heidelberg Catechism about prayer, of how to pray and the need of prayer. May I ask you, do you have a need to be instructed in prayer? Do you pray? By nature, we enter this world prayerless. And without God's grace, we will die prayerless. Have you become a praying person? Or we pray only form prayers. We just enter into prayer without any thought of who we are praying to. And we just quickly say some words. We say amen, for example, and we climb into our beds. By nature, we pray without any great need. We enter into the presence of the Holy God without humility, thinking of who we are speaking to. Or we enter into prayer without any faith. Thoughtless prayers. These prayers are a stench before God. But when God begins his work of saving grace, then sinners begin to pray. Pray as they have never prayed before. I think of Saul. He was stopped. He was born again. And what do we read about him? "Behold, he prayeth." As a Pharisee, he said many prayers. But now he begins to pray. Manasseh. Children, do you know Manasseh, that wicked king? He came into jail. And what do we read about him? Then he began to seek for God. He began to pray. He besought the Lord his God, and he prayed unto him. Manasseh became a praying man. Before, I don't think he ever prayed. But now see him in that little jail, in that prison. He bows his knees, so to speak, and he cries unto God. By God's grace, sinners who never needed God, who never thought of God, who never had any desire to speak and to share all their needs and cares unto him, they begin to sigh. They begin to pray. They begin to cry. They begin to beg. They need mercy. They need grace. They need pardon. They need everything. My friend, do you pray, young people? Older ones, how do you pray? Why do you pray? Do you pray, Lord, teach me? Teach me to pray. I need instruction. Why is prayer necessary? We can understand in the world that they do not pray. I think our nations in the past, they prayed, but now where is prayer in our nation? Does the government pray? Is there prayer in Ottawa? I fear not. But in the past, they prayed. But it's understandable, because they're born dead in sins and trespasses, and by nature, we have no need for God. But how different it is for God's people. For true Christians, there's a living God, an almighty God who hears and answers prayer. And all day long that he's attentive unto the voice of their cries, of their needs, and he promises that he is. Listen, Jehovah promises to hear the needy when they cry unto him. Isaiah 41 verse 17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Is there thirsty souls here tonight? What a blessed promise. You may cry unto him. You may pray unto him. And he promises that he will not forsake them. I read in Psalm 50, verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. What precious promises to encourage poor and needy sinners to cry unto God, to pray unto him. I read in Psalm 86, verse 1, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Is that you? Are you poor and needy? Do you pray? Do you cry unto God? Why is prayer necessary? Why do we pray? Because we believe in an almighty, powerful God who is in control of everything, the whole universe, this whole world, everything in our lives, but also because he is the fountain of grace. He supplies everything need for our bodies, and he is the only one that can supply everything for your soul. Why do we pray unto him? Children of God, why do you pray unto him? Because we believe that as he says in his word, that he delights in the poor and needy that cry unto him. God is pleased when he sees that poor beggar who has nothing in self, going on his knees, folding his hands, closing his eyes, and opening his lips, and sighing and crying unto him. It's a delight in his eyes. We read in Psalm 27, verse 6, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Is that you? What a precious invitation. Seek me. Seek my face. Oh, may by God's grace there be that response in your heart, in my heart. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. But in the catechism, there's a specific question. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? For God's children? For those who are born again? At the throne of grace? At that mercy seat? They may lay all their needs before God. They may pour out all their cares, all their needs. They may unburden themselves. And what a multitude of needs we have for our soul, for our body, for the church, for those in the congregation, for our country, that the Lord would bless his word in mission, wherever his word is proclaimed. What a multitude of needs. But do we also have those personal needs for our own soul? Why does a Christian pray? Because he delights to confess his sin. Children, When you do something wrong, especially to your mother, and you see pain in her eyes, you want to confess. You want to confess. You want to tell her, you want to confess your error. It's a little illustration of God's dear people when they sin. And when God leads them to repentance, oh, prayer then is an opening to confess all your sins to God. And in prayer, they can find such peace that they cannot find with talking to anyone else. It's a blessing to have brothers in the faith, those who think that you can be connected with your heart. But we cannot give each other peace. But oh, when there's opening in prayer and you can pour your heart out before God, then at times there can be such peace for the soul that you cannot find anywhere else in this world. My friend, do you pray? And I tell you something, you cannot stop a Christian from prayer. He must pray. You can put him in prison. You can torture him. But he must pray. And God calls unto all his dear children. But he calls to all, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. We all may pour out all our needs unto him, but especially his dear children are called to pray and to pour out everything before him. You cannot stop a Christian from prayer. Yes, in themselves they lack prayer, but you cannot stop them. I think of Daniel, children, remember? There was that decree. If anyone cries unto any of their gods or to any god, they will be cast into the den with lions. So if Daniel would bow his knees and pray, he would go into the lion's den. Would you pray? Would you pray if you knew that was what would happen to you? Would I pray? Or would we be very afraid? Or is there that hunger, that urgency? No matter what, I need to speak. I need to share everything in my heart with God. Is that you? My friend, are you like Daniel? You must pray. There's urgency. There's a need. Do you know what the poet confesses in Psalm 55, verse 16 and 17? As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. I read a little book a while ago from John Bunyan on prayer, and I will mention some quotes from him. Listen, here's the first one. Prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart to God through Christ. Yes, through Christ. In the strength of the Holy Spirit, for such things as God has promised according to his word, for the good of the church, with submission in faith to the will of God. Do you pray? Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Why is it so important? Because they're in a relationship. Imagine in a relationship with a husband and wife, and they don't speak. They don't talk to each other. How would you feel, wives? How would you feel, husbands? But now, infinitely must. God has rescued them from the kingdom of Satan and translated into his kingdom, poured love in their hearts. They're in a relationship, and he delights to hear their cries, but they also have a delight when they may pour out their heart to God. May I ask you a question, you who are recipients of grace? If someone would ask you, my friend, why do you pray? What would be your answer, children of God, especially you? What would be your answer if someone asked you, why do you pray? Would your answer be, I pray because it is the main way to thank God? Would that be your answer? We read, because of the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. That's what the authors of the Heidelberg Catechism state, because the chief part of thankfulness. Without prayer, there is no true thankfulness. We express our gratitude to God as His children by obeying His law, but also in prayer. Prayer is not only a whole list of petitions, beginning with adoration and petitions, it's also a part of true prayer is thankfulness. No, it's not like the Pharisee, I thank that I'm not like so-and-so, or all we do is we thank thee, Lord, for this, and thank thee, Lord. No, that's not what I mean. But there's that heart that's broken by His goodness. For example, of Naaman, the broken by His goodness, and that you must by your knees, and your heart is broken, and you want to thank Him from the depth of your heart. We read in Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart that He will not despise. I heard a short prayer of thanksgiving in Tereha. I'd like to share it with you. It touched me. A young man by the name of Vladimir, he'd been looking for work. Maybe you read that in the Paul article of God's providence. He had been looking for work. Because why? Because as a dear friend he wants to marry. And he needs work to be able to care for his wife. And he didn't have work. The Lord provided, but then he didn't have work. There was opportunity to work far away, but he couldn't go to church. He couldn't gather with us. But then one day, a friend said, you need to apply at that place. And he applied. And on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, he had an interview with the boss of that place. And he went. And then he came to Bible study. And at the end of Bible study, his phone rang. And he went out. And he came back in. And you could see on his face thankfulness. But he didn't say anything. Then after the Bible study, we asked him, Vladdy, did you receive the job? Did God provide? He said, God provided. And didn't you know what took place? About 5 or 6 of those people in the church, they simply came together, and Vladdy prayed and thanked the Lord for providing in his problems work. Do you live like that? Or it's all petitions? The Lord is not pleased if all we have is petitions. We need our eyes opened. We need to see also what He provides, and we need to return thanksgiving unto Him. John Bunyan said, God's people pray with their praises. A sensible thanksgiving for mercies received is a mighty prayer in the sight of God. Oh, that our eyes may be open to see all that God's provide, that we pour out our heart to Him, begging Him for all these different needs, and that when He supplies, we see it, that our hearts are broken, and we return unto Him thanksgiving. He is so worthy to be thanked for everything. Psalm 50, verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Oh, must we not pray? Oh, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to have that humble place at thy throne of grace to pour out all our needs. But also, Lord, that our hearts may be broken and that we may have true, thankful hearts. Children of God, if all we do is beg and ask petitions, and we never ever with broken hearts of true thankfulness thank the Lord, we can expect darkness in our soul. Why is prayer necessary for a Christian? Without prayer, we cannot truly thank the Lord. Without prayer, we cannot truly walk in the ways of the Lord to live a life of thanksgiving. Prayer is the greatest weapon against Satan and against our own flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 26, verse 41, Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Do you pray? Do you pray as a beggar, but do you also give thanksgiving unto God? Why should a Christian pray? Why does a Christian need to pray? Because they so often can go astray. Foolish sheep, are we not? So often going astray. And what is the first step of going astray? What is the first step that a husband and wife have distance? Well, they don't speak, but there's a distance. But now in prayer and in that relationship between God the Father and his dear children, what is the first step of going astray? It's the lack of dependency, the lack of need, and the lack of prayer. Oh, that we would live daily, close, dependent, with urgency, close to the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is essential to holy living. Oh, must we not pray, Church of God, all of us, but especially you, children of God, recipients of grace? Oh, Lord, teach us to pray. Give us the spirit of prayer. Give us that dependence upon thee day by day. Oh, give us that perseverance in prayer, like Jacob, that urgency that we cannot let him go until he blesses us. Oh, that God would give us that urgency, that need, like Daniel. Oh, he experienced in that den sweet communion with the Lord. The Lord visited him. How should a Christian pray? We heard of the need, something of that. But now also, how should a Christian pray? Let us now sing Psalter. I think I made a mistake. What's the sixth Psalter on the board there? 386. What was the one I missed? 387. Thank you. So now we will sing Psalter 387. 387, 1, 2, and 3. Psalter 387, the first three stanzas, please. We have heard a little something of the need of a Christian to pray. But how should he pray? A Christian should pray from the heart, with awe, with holy awe and love for the Lord. A Christian should not only use his mouth, but prayer should come from his heart. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Children, you know Hannah, remember her? She had no children. And she went to the temple to pray. And Eli came. And he saw only her lips moving. And then he reprimanded her. But what do we read about Hannah? Her lips didn't only move. No, she spake in her heart. She was praying with her lips moving, but even more, she was praying unto God with her heart. John Bunyan said, "It is better that your prayers are without words than words without the heart." How should a Christian pray? Well, we read in 1:17 in the answer first that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested himself in his word for all things he hath commanded us to ask of him. My friend, do you pray? How do you pray? Is it only with your mouth, with lips, with thoughts, but not from your heart? We must pray with our heart. That means in sincerity unto God with our hearts. May I ask you another question? Wives, are you happy when your husband says things, but you can feel it doesn't come at all from his heart? It's only from his lips. You're not happy. Not at all. Children of God, we must pray with our hearts. And you who pray, but it's only with your mouth, nothing at all with your heart. The Lord is so displeased. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 15, verse 8. "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And maybe we can make beautiful prayers with our lips and our mouth, but God sees the heart. It's better to pray to him in sincerity and maybe with such poor prayers, a sigh here, a cry here. Do you pray? How do you pray? Do you pray from the heart unto the Lord? So it's with the heart, in sincerity. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of his divine majesty. So we must not only pray with our heart, not only with our lips, but with our heart, but also with knowledge of self. As we began this evening, praying is speaking unto an infinitely holy God. None of us would just run into the palace of a king and just rattle off some words. We would never consider it. Because there's respect. But how do we pray? Do we pray with a sense of awe of the majesty in heaven, but also of who we are? Who we are. Horrible, polluted, filthy sinners, and we're speaking to an infinitely holy God. We need this in the very beginning, and we need this day by day unto the end of our lives, with knowledge of self and a knowledge of his majesty, and this will only increase, and that we are in the dust, and that we have high thoughts of him, awe for him. John Bunyan said, "There are two things you need to know in your prayer, yourself and God." Oh, must we not pray, Lord, teach us to pray? Lord, forgive us of all the sins in also in our prayers. Lord, teach us how great thou art, how awe-inspiring, how majestic thou art, but also teach us who we are, that we may come in sincerity with our hearts, in true humility, but also with true awe for him, that we would be like that publican that was beating on his breast and crying, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and who could not even lift up his eyes to heaven. Is that you? Let's read a few verses from James chapter 4. James chapter 4, we will read verses 8, 9, and 10. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We need awe for him and humility. My friend, do you pray? How do you pray? Do you pray with the heart? Do you pray in humility and awe for God? Think of Abraham. He's called the friend of God. How did he pray? What did he say? When we read in Genesis 18, verse 27, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. You hear of humility. Think of Isaiah. What did he say when he saw a little illustration of the glory in heaven in that vision? He said, woe is me. I am undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. Do you know a little something of that? Of praying from the heart with awe, but also humility. What else? How else must we pray? From the heart in humility? Knowledge of self, knowledge of God, but also in faith. Yes, in faith. We also read that in the answer, that we be fully persuaded that he, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it. Yes, we're unworthy children of God, Christians. He's especially speaking to you and to us, to you. That we be fully persuaded that he, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ, our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as he has promised in his word. Listen to two texts, please. James 1, verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. We are to pray in faith. How we need faith. Because by nature we only pray in unbelief. But we are called to pray in faith, trusting in him, expecting things from him. Why? Because of him, because of who he is, for his honor, for his glory. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you pray? Do you pray from the heart, with awe and humility? But do you also pray in faith? Do you pray as a beggar without any rights? Do you pray with faith to God, the Almighty God, with expectation because of who he is? Do you pray with high thoughts of God? Do you have great thoughts of his great mercy, of his great grace? Do you pray in faith, needing a mediator? A mediator that's at the right hand of God to take all your prayers and to present them. Do you pray in faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Poor needy sinners, we may pray with a deep sense of our unworthiness, of our pollution, as a great sinner, of only worthy of condemnation. We may pray and cry unto him, with expectation. Why? Nothing in self, but because of him. Because of him who's at the right hand, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can sinners who are absolutely unworthy of any blessing, but only worthy of being cast away, how can such ones pray in faith and in confidence in prayer? Well, they need to learn nothing in self, but all in him, in him. Because God the Father hears those poor little bleeding lambs, those poor needy sheep, for the sake of his Son. That's the confidence we may have. Nothing in self, but in him, because of him. We read in John 14, verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Poor sinner, you may come before him. You may pour out your whole heart to him. You may be honest. You do not need to come in prayer before him in a way that you are not. No. You may come exactly as you are. You may be so honest. You may pour it all out, all your sins, all your doubt, all your lack of humility, all your lack of awe and holiness and awe for the King. You may come before him with all your unbelief, and you may pour it all out unto him, begging in the name of Christ to receive everything from him. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 7, verse 8, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Oh, by God's grace, may we all become knockers, seekers, beggars. My friend, do you only have one place to go? No, not to the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Has that become a hopeless place for you? No, not to a priest. No, not to a pastor, not to an elder, not to a deacon, not to a father, not to a mother, not to a teacher, not to a principal in school, not to a dear friend. Have you come to a place? There's only one place before one that you can bow your knees and pray. Are you like the disciples who said in John 6, verse 68, "Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Do you long for him to speak? That you desire to speak to him, and that he would speak to you? Congregation, we stand so polluted when we consider prayer. I stand polluted here. You're polluted. Who of us prays in true humility from the heart every time we open our mouth with awe for him in faith? We're polluted in all our sins, and we need to beg him, "Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse me from all my sins." So we've considered in a few words the necessity of a Christian to pray and how he should pray. But now the last thought. What should a Christian pray for? Christian prayer includes adoration, yes, confession, supplication, begging. Psalm 30, verse 8, "I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication." But for what things may we, must we, pray for? May we pray to the Lord for little things, children? For little things? For a little tiny thing. Maybe you're afraid to go into a class because someone in your class maybe looks at you and laughs at you. May you pray, "Lord, help me"? Yes, you may. Older ones, at school, university, maybe you have a test and you think, "How can I ever do this test?" May you bring that before the Lord? Yes. Parents, oh, we have such a multitude of needs. May we bring them all before the Lord? Yes. Congregation, can we bring all our needs to the Lord in prayer? Absolutely. Everything for body and for soul, the smallest thing to the greatest thing. Who is happy? Which father is happy here tonight? That if your children only come to you for little things, not expecting that you can help them with the big things, or the other way around, that they only ask you for big things, to help with big things, but never share the small details in their life. I'm not happy with my children when they live like that. I want to hear all their cares, from the smallest to the biggest. The Lord is the same way. He wants to hear all our needs, everything for soul, everything for body, everything. Nothing is too small. Nothing is too great. And why? Why do we not share all our needs to Him? Must we not confess? Because we live so distant from Him? Is it not because we have such little expectation of that good shepherd in heaven, of that almighty God? A close life will lead to sharing every little care and need with Him, everything for body and for soul. He delights to hear the needy when they cry. And you can cry unto Him for everything, absolutely everything. I remember I was working for a farmer, and we had some cows in a different barn down the road. And I had to go there to do some work every day. And when the Lord began to work in my heart, in that barn, there was a hayloft. And every time I went there, I had to go in that hayloft. I had to lay before the Lord all my needs, little ones, small ones. The only that heard was those cows crying and begging to the Lord. But I had to do it. No, they weren't beautiful prayers. They were sighs, cries. But I had to share everything with Him. Oh, that was such a sweet time in life, that you could not live without Him any day. You needed Him for everything. And how foolish we are, children of God, that we think that we can become living on our own without pouring all our needs before Him. Oh, that we would live a close life, and that we would need Him in everything, every day. The authors write everything for soul and body. Everything necessary. No, not what we desire. No. That perfect Father in heaven knows exactly what His children need. And He doesn't give what we desire. He supplies in His wisdom what we need. But notice, they wrote first the soul and then the body. No, they didn't write first the body and the soul. Is that just... No, it's on purpose. Why? Young people, soul lost, all lost. Yes, soul lost, all lost. You can have such a healthy body. And yes, we must take care of our body. But soul lost, all lost. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he lose his own soul?" Then we perish. We perish forever. Jesus Christ displayed this, that the need of your soul is more important than the need of your body. And He cares for all things, but the soul is most important. Where did He do that? In Mark chapter 2. When those four friends brought that man on that bed to Him, that paralytic, what did He do first? Did He heal his body? No, He didn't. He first spoke to him of the need for his soul. "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And then He took care of his body. And yes, He will take care of soul and body. They will be brought into that eternal bliss forever with Him. My friend, do you pray? How do you pray? Do you pray from the heart, with awe, crying and sighing as a beggar at the throne of grace, only trusting that you can only receive anything, everything that you need through that precious blood of Jesus Christ? And when he answers, do you give thanks unto him as that man in Terija? I will never forget that precious prayer. We need to be beggars at the throne of grace. We need to be made beggars, kept beggars, but also to pray unto him and to pour out all our needs and to thank him. Is there some among us tonight? You say, Pastor, I've been praying for so long. So long. I've prayed and I begged, but there's no answer. Is that you? Is that you? Oh, if the Lord says no, then we need grace. Or if he says yes, we need grace. But when it's silent, oh, then we need extra grace. I think of that Canaanitish woman. She cried unto the Lord. And three times it's like he pushed her away. And maybe that's how you feel tonight. I don't know. But maybe there's such beggars here tonight. I have a word for you from the Word of God. Wait on the Lord. Wait on him. Keep crying. Keep sighing. And when you can't cry and you can't sigh, beg for a cry. But do not leave him. Wait on him. At his time, he will answer in his way. Sheep of the Good Shepherd, how is it? How is it in your inner chamber? How is it in my inner chamber? Do we pray? Do we pray as we heard from the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism? Fathers, are you priests in your home? Do you lead your family in prayer? Mothers, when the father is gone, do you lead your family in prayer? Oh, that we may be a begging congregation. I hope every time before you come to church, you cannot come here without bowing your knees and begging him, the Almighty God, that he would work among us powerfully, irresistibly with his Holy Spirit. And that's my task the whole week, begging him, Lord, teach me, provide that there may be food for the people, that there may be blessings, that I may have something to hand up. I have nothing in myself. But I pray that by the Holy Spirit you may pray me full, that the Holy Spirit may fill me, and that I may pour it out among you, that we may be a praying congregation. What a blessing. What a blessing. Do you pray? How do you pray? Do you pray as a beggar? May the Lord give us beggars. And as we meditate in the following weeks on the Lord's Prayer, may your prayer be, Lord, teach me to pray. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, teach us to pray. Cleanse us from all the sins of all our prayers, Lord. We pray that thou would remember us in this week. Lord, keep us from an unprepared death, and prepare us, Lord, for that moment that we must leave this life and stand before thee and give an account. Lord, bless all the things that are planned in this week, the choir, the visits, the Bible study, confession of faith class. Lord, bless the means of grace that we may use. We pray that thou would give above all that we can think and ask, and teach us to pray, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us sing in closing Psalter 235. Psalter 235, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. And there's a correction in the bulletin. The confession of faith class will be on Thursday evenings from now on at 7:30. 235, Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need. My Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford. I cry to thee. Psalter 235, all three stanzas. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.